Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Fratelli Vineyards Limited Q4 and FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Go India Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Priya Sen from Go India Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, Ms. Sen.
Thank you, Ranju. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Fratelli Vineyards Limited earnings conference call to discuss the Q4 and FY25 results. We have on the call Mr. Gaurav Sehgal, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Aditya Sehgal, Director, Mr. Rajesh Garg, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Hemant Arora, Chief Business Officer. We must remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be therefore viewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. May I now request Mr. Gaurav Sehgal to take us through the company's business outlook and performance, subsequent to which we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hi, good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Welcome to the Q4 and FY25 earnings conference call of Fratelli Vineyards Limited. The financial results and investor presentation have been shared, and I trust you've had a chance to review them. FY25 has been a year of strategic execution for Fratelli, during which we focused on setting up robust systems and processes that are laying the foundation for our next phase of growth and scale-up. Before I present the key milestones and achievements of the year, I would like to begin with a brief overview of Fratelli's operating model and the legacy of the business. Fratelli holds a leading position in the Indian wine industry with a market share of approximately 30% and is widely regarded as one of the country's most trusted and respected winemakers. Our business is built on a foundation of deep expertise in viticulture and oenology, which is with a clear focus on crafting premium and super premium wines that meet the evolving tastes of discerning consumers. As a fully integrated enterprise, we manage every stage of the winemaking process from vineyard cultivation and grape harvesting to production, bottling, and distribution. This fully integrated model allows us to maintain rigorous quality standards, ensure consistency across vintages, and foster innovation across our product portfolio. We operate two strategically located facilities, our mother facility being in Nakkal, Maharashtra, and another facility at Bijapur, Karnataka. Our flagship facility in Nakkal has a capacity of 4.8 million liters and also houses our canning line, where we produce Tilth, our innovative wine-in-a-can offering. Bijapur adds an additional 0.6 million liters to our capacity. This year, we've increased our total installed capacity by one-third, bringing it to 5.4 million liters. This expansion has not only strengthened our ability to scale but also enhanced our product quality, supporting better margin realization. Our vineyard ecosystem is a key competitive advantage for Fratelli and unique to us. It is anchored in 400 acres of vineyards, which are farmed by us and supported by over 1,000 acres under long-term contract farming. This integrated model ensures full traceability, consistency, and supply resilience at scale. Today, our wines are available across approximately 25,000 touchpoints nationwide. Internationally, we continue to expand our footprint in high-potential markets, including the U.K., U.S., Italy, Japan, Dubai, and Australia, demonstrating the growing global appeal for our brand. With a 15-year legacy and expertise, Fratelli continues to redefine winemaking, whether through our premium award-winning labels, innovation in new formats, or our expanding market presence. Our portfolio is anchored by marquee brands like Genuine and Sette and the Master Selection range, each reflecting our commitment to quality and craftsmanship. This year, we made meaningful progress on both innovation and progress. We upgraded our tech stack to support faster and sharper decision-making. On the product side, we introduced exciting additions to our portfolio. Our first Pinot Noir, as well as the Master Selection Late Harvest, and our latest offering is Shotgun, a ready-to-drink crafted product to engage younger consumers and expand the category. We also strengthened our leadership in the wine in a can segment, taking it deeper into Tier 2 cities and unlocking new consumers and demographics. Another exciting milestone was the launch of our first four-room bar and coffee place in partnership with Blue Tokai in Koramangala, Bangalore. This is a unique wine meets coffee experience designed to engage urban consumers in a more immersive way. Looking ahead, we remain firmly focused on elevating our premium wine portfolio, deepening our investments in hospitality, and expanding our presence across emerging Tier 2 and Tier 3 markets. As a professionally managed, family-led enterprise, we are leveraging our strong foundation to drive sustainable growth, creating enduring value, and delivering exceptional experiences. We wish to set new standards for the wine industry in India. And with this, I would like to welcome Aditya to take us through some of the strategic and financial updates for FY25. Over to you, Aditya.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. In FY25, 73% of our revenue was contributed by the premium and above segments, reinforcing our strong brand positioning and the shift in consumer preference towards our quality offerings. Our revenue stood at 182 crores, reflecting the impact of supply chain streamlining measures and broader macroeconomic headwinds. Gross margins improved by 200 basis points year-on-year, driven by an enhanced product mix and operational efficiencies. EBITDA remained under pressure due to elevated investments in long-term strategic initiatives. This included category development, infrastructure upgrades, and sustained brand-building efforts. We continue to strengthen internal capabilities throughout this year, onboarding new talent, expanding the team, and laying the groundwork for future growth. The brand remains well-positioned to scale profitability in FY26 with clear visibility on margin recovery through cost optimization and enhanced operating leverage going forward. Our priority remains on driving EBITDA recovery while continuing to invest in capacity, brand development, and systems that will support long-term sustainable growth. Our focused premium portfolio and unwavering commitment to crafting exceptional wine experiences have been instrumental in reinforcing brand seasons as well. Strategic partnerships have amplified our reach and visibility this year, and our presence at marquee events such as Naikaland, Provine, Nagpur Fest, and Viva La Vino allowed consumers to engage directly with our brand and also to experience our new offerings of the Master Selection and our newly launched Pinot Noir as well firsthand. These platforms continue to be vital touchpoints in deepening consumer connection and driving premiumization for us. We continue to scale Tilt, our wine and can offering, by strengthening its presence at high-energy cultural and music festivals such as Bandland and Dune Music Festival. These platforms are key to our strategy of integrating wine into contemporary, casual consumption occasions, broadening category appeal and accelerating trial among younger urban consumers. This is a deliberate step in our ongoing effort to redefine how wine fits into India's evolving lifestyle landscape. We also introduced our innovative RTD offering, Shotgun, a bold, convenient format designed to appeal to a wider and younger consumer base. With its vibrant packaging and easy-to-enjoy profile, Shotgun is helping us tap into new consumption occasions and expand our presence in the fast-growing RTD segment. Currently, the RTD industry in India is roughly $150 million. Looking ahead, we are poised to benefit from enhanced production capacity in the strong harvest, both of which will support the increased demand across our premium portfolio. With a robust and differentiated product mix, expanding routes to market, and continued investment in brand-led consumer engagement, we are strategically positioned to strengthen our leadership in the premium and wine segment. Backed by operational discipline and a long-term vision, we remain confident in our ability to drive sustained top-line growth and a margin expansion while shaping the future of wine consumption in India. With that, I conclude my remarks and request the moderator to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Girish Kumar with Valpro. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, hello. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Sir, I have three questions. The first one is, what's your outlook on the wine industry over the next few years in the India? And the second one is, are you seeing any slowdown in the demand for wines, especially from premium urban consumers? And the third and the last one is, what innovation or new strategies are you exploring to drive future growth?
So, Girish, this is here. I can take this question. So, as we mentioned in our previous earnings call as well, last year was an aberration, not only for us, but for a lot of the other alcohol players as well. But our outlook, as mentioned previously as well, remains consistent. You know, we're looking to grow at a figure of 15 to 20% year on year, and therefore our outlook remains consistent with that. With respect to demand, we've seen a robust recovery in Q1, and we see that continuing this year as well, going forward.
And in the innovation studies, are you exploring to drive the growth?
Sure. Can I hear you, Girish? Can you repeat your question?
What innovation or strategies are you exploring to drive the future growth?
So we've launched Tilt about 3 years ago, which has scaled up well, and you know, it's the largest player now in the wine RTD segment, especially with respect to wine in a can. And we've recently launched Shotgun as well. And with Shotgun, we believe that the total addressable market, especially pertaining to wine, you know, we feel we can dramatically increase that. And obviously, you know, the updates will come in the following quarters because we've just done a soft launch in Q4, and more updates will be given to you in the following quarters.
Fair enough. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Chetan with Systematics Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I have a few questions. First, on the distribution strategy. Sir, the company is expanding its distribution footprint into Tier 2 and Tier 3 towns, where it is already witnessing growing traction. Are there any differentiated product development or marketing strategies being tailored specifically for these markets, as say different than the metro urban centers? And additionally, are innovative products such as cans and RTDs being strategically positioned for these regions?
Hi, Gaurav Sekhri here. So, you know, Tier 2, Tier 3 cities, some customization is done to have a better reach. You know, while the broad initiatives remain fairly consistent between, you know, the metro cities and Tier 2, Tier 3 cities, but, you know, sometimes some level of vernacularity comes into play. There is also a need of samplings and tastings, because in many cases, while people understand, you know, or have a desire to try wine, but they have probably not experienced it before. So one needs to customize those aspects. But otherwise, the initiatives are not that dramatically different from metros. And you know, we have a very complete range of wine products in terms of price points, in terms of taste profile, etc. So we have something for everyone. And we kind of see our audience, and then accordingly, we will propose them to try those category of wines.
Okay, thank you. Second question is on the product mix and margins. So currently, say over 70% of the company's sales are derived from premium and luxury wines, which significantly, we can say, it contributes to EBITDA. However, in fiscal 25, EBITDA margins are impacted due to the increased investments in brand building initiatives. So how is the company balancing its focus on maintaining a high margin premium product mix with the necessary investments to support the growth of, say, the emerging potentially lower margin segments such as RTDs and cans? Okay, specifically I mean that, are there any initiatives in place to ensure that the rising volumes from the newer categories do not dilute the overall premium mix or the company's margins? Yes.
Sure. Sure. So, Gaurav again, let me attempt to answer your question, and if Hemant or Adi wish to add, they can elaborate. But, you know, essentially we have a certain expectation, benchmark of gross margins and EBITDA margins from products as well as regions, so which we keep a close eye. And it has to meet our criteria to qualify for it to become a product. That is a given to begin with. Of course, premium products, luxury products will tend to offer you better margins, and our focus is that. Our premium range of wines have been growing at a CAGR of 15% over the last few years. So while we expand TAM by introducing products like, you know, wine in a can, shotgun, even filling some categories of products which may have been lacking in the past, our focus remains at number show in premiumization, because owning and controlling our own vineyards, that is where our expertise lies, is to make, you know, high quality wines where we are delivering extremely high quality experience at a much lower price compared to imported wines. So that is really our key focus area. I think that should sufficiently have answered your question.
Yeah, that was helpful. And just last question, on the expansion of this cultivation area. So the company had planned a capital expenditure of approximately 5 crores for the expansion of its vineyard area by additional 100 acres. Could you specify the expected timeline for the commencement of, say, commercial yield from this?
Sure. Typically, it takes about 3 years for us to get a viable yield out of any new plantation. So this CapEx is underway in a place called Jambli in Ahmednagar district, where we have already planted approximately 40 acres. The next planting area we will get in this land is about 100 acres, and we've planted about 40 as of now. And the big chunk is getting done in this financial year. And usually it's a 3 year, timeline to get leads.
Okay, thank you. That was helpful.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Chanvi Shah with Marble Arc Capital. Please go ahead. Ms. Shah, please go ahead with your question. Ms. Shah, if you have muted your line, unmute yourself and go ahead with the question.
Hello. Hello.
Yes, you're audible, ma'am. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. My question is that our sales are down by 1% YOY in Q4 FY25. So what was the volume variance for Q4 FY25?
You are asking for the variance of volume between FY24 and FY25. Have I understood your question correctly?
That is one part of the question. I also wanted to know the Q4 FY25. Q4 of FY25.
Okay, it's along the lines of our, we've lost about 30 odd crores of top line, from 215 to about 180 odd crores. And in terms of the drop in revenue, drop in volume, it is almost similar. But give us about 2 minutes and we'll come back to you with an exact percentage.
Sure. And you'll help me with both, right? Q4 FY25 and the full year FY25, which is 24-25.
Sorry, ma'am. Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, my question is that you will be coming back to me with both the numbers, right? The Q4 FY25 and the full year FY25.
Sure. My colleague Hemant, our CBO, is going to answer that.
Hi, ma'am. Our volume dropped by 13% in FY basis.
Oh, it dropped by 13% in FY25.
Yeah.
And in Q4?
Sorry?
Q4. In Q4 FY25?
It's almost the...
We'll come back to you, ma'am, on the Q4 number shortly. Do you have a third question?
No, this is the only question. These are the only two questions that I wanted to know.
Sure. We'll just give you the Q4 variance in volume as well. But you got the number for year on year, right? It's about 13%.
Yeah, I got the percent, the number, right.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Smith Gala with RSPN Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. We are seeing a degrowth in 25 numbers, FY 25 numbers. So broadly, what are the factors contributing to the degrowth? Is it we have lost on volume or are we giving more discounts?
Yeah, so the degrowth, as I mentioned as well in my opening remarks, were attributed to a couple of key or market reasons. One major aspect was on account of the change in policies last year, which happened in key states like Karnataka and Andhra Pradesh, even in Delhi. So these were three major markets which were disrupted. Another key aspect was the election factor, which led to a high number of dry days and sales, obviously, due to which we could not do sales during those dry days. The third factor, also, which was a contributor, was some disruption in our internal supply chain because we were transitioning into a new unit altogether, and that happened largely in Q4. But I can assure you that has been completed, and going forward there will be no disruption in supplies from our end as well on that account. But these were the three major contributors.
Okay, and what was the number which you mentioned for the volume decrease? I missed it.
It was 13% on a YOY basis.
One three. My next question is in the presentation, it is also mentioned that some microeconomic factors also dependent caused the factor to the demand going down. So the macroeconomic factors will also take time to improve if they are to. So what are the reasons for you to believe that you will be able to deliver a 20% growth year-on-year basis for FY26?
Sure. No, it's a great question. Gaurav Sikri here. So the macro factor that we have referred to is that we have, generally we are seeing a slowdown in any kind of discretionary spending, whether it is apparels or it is alcohol, etc. There is some correction and there are various theories on why that is happening, and I don't wish to speculate on that, but it is our understanding that there is a general slowdown in consumer spending, and that impacted demand for us as well. And our way of tackling it is as follows. We see wine still at a very small base, and I think there is an opportunity to expand TAM. And our focus in expanding TAM is the launch of products like Shotgun, which will help us to some extent mitigate, this resistance, because it's a whole new product from us. It's exploiting a different market base altogether while leveraging our strengths in winemaking, because it is a wine-based product. So that is one. And second, in the ultra-premium segment, we are not really seeing any slowdown. And we have focused on the opportunities that exist for us to expand within that category, and that is giving us this confidence that we can achieve our desired growth rate.
Okay, thank you. That was helpful. Second question was there is, as we you must be aware that India has successfully come up with a trade agreement with the EU, so that will also the European wines will also flood the market. So do you see that affecting the demand of the domestic wines?
See, at this point of time, the FTA which is being negotiated, it will be along the lines of what has already been done and achieved with Australia. That FTA provides sufficient protection to domestic wines. I don't see any impact of the FTA at this point of time. In fact, more wines becoming available probably helps in expanding TAM and general preference of people. At the same time, I think we are very aware and we are watching it closely. But the way the FTA provisions are today, we feel comfortable that it will not have any impact on us.
And additionally, Aditya, I would like to add that in the initial draft that's been proposed, wine is not being covered as one of the spirits in UK at least.
Okay. UK it is not covered.
Correct.
Okay. And we have been incurring a loss. We have incurred a loss in the current year. So what does the tax statement look like for FY26? So I think we must have savings in FY26 on account of tax, as we must have created deferred tax effect this year.
So basically, it's an accounting entry. See, whenever you have notice, I rise side, I would like to take this question. So, see, it's
sorry?
A deferred tax effect. Hi. Am I audible?
Yeah, you are audible, yeah.
Yeah. So basically, it's an accounting function whenever you have some losses, so deferred tax asset is created. So in the coming, in the current year, so when we'll get profit, so it will be reversed actually.
Yeah. So this year tax statement should, the rate of tax should come down to 5 or maybe even nil.
No, it will be 25% actually. The effective tax rate will be 25%. So
effective, yes, there will be 25%, I understand, but we will get credits of the losses of this year, right?
Yeah. So in that case, the deferred tax will reverse. I mean, here you are seeing the negative figure. In that case, it will become positive figure. So the effective tax rate will be around 25% only. Though there will be no cash outflow, in terms of the tax payment, there will be no tax payment. But the asset which is created, it will get reversed.
Yeah. That was a question. Is the construction of the tourism facility on track with the planned construction timeline? And it will go live by end of 27?
Hi, Gaurav Sekri here. We are still in planning stage. We haven't yet begun construction. We are still, very much attempting to have the facility ready by and open in 2027. But at this point, we are still in planning stage.
Okay, that was helpful. And my last question from my side, is there any plans to merge the holdco with Fratelli to save some up of the cost of consolidation and some expenses?
We are evaluating it, yes.
Okay, thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Amit Mahendale with Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on the EBITDA. If I look at year-on-year EBITDA, I think we are down by about 25-30 crores. And there was a comment earlier that, we have invested some amount. So could you, throw some light on what type of, extra expenses have you incurred, and if these are recurring, if for the same set of top line, can we go back to 20-25 crores? Just some color on this will be helpful.
Hi, Gaurav Sikri here. If I've understood your question correctly, I think you would like some information on, what expenses were incurred in this financial year, what kind of expenses which impacted EBITDA. Is that your question?
Yeah, that's right. And also, if those expenses are recurring in nature, they were one-off expenses.
Of course. So, broadly, there are two or three categories of expenses which have, adversely impacted EBITDA in this financial year. Some are, of course, recurring in nature in the sense that, we continue to be very focused on brand building and we don't wish to slow down on those kind of initiatives because it does expand the total addressable market and, recruiting new consumers, etc. Our brand investments in FY25 went to about 8% of our top line from 6% in the previous year. We do not wish to slow down on this. So this would be recurring in nature, although in absolute percentage terms, with the higher top line expected in this financial year, in percentage terms, this number should come down to hopefully by at least 1 percentage point, maybe 100 pips. Secondly, in terms of one-off expenses, we have done a lot of, you know, work in this financial year to make the company future ready. We redesigned our plant playbook. We worked on rebranding of our master selection range. We have just completed our work on a new bottle and new design for our Grand Cuvée Brut, which is a premium sparkling wine. It needed an upgrade. It was done almost 12, 13 years ago when the product was launched. To truly reflect, you know, the product and the liquid that is inside, we had to undertake this process. That was a one-time thing. And of course, Shotgun, which is our new product launch. Any new launch, any new product, you know, the R&D that goes into it, the launch-related research, etc., that goes into it. So those are all one time. Now the product is launched, it's already in the market. We are already selling it successfully in markets like Kerala, Uttar Pradesh, West Bengal, Uttarakhand, Rajasthan, Maharashtra. So a few states we've already rolled it out, and the response is extremely encouraging. So some of those kind of expenses, you know, were one-off in nature. I hope this helps, you know, give you more information and clarity.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Thanks. And my next question is on FY26. Now, you know, suppose we, do we expect like 15% growth or so? Is that a fair assessment? And, you know, what if I add 15%, you know, to the current top line, what type of EBITDA margins broadly, you know, some range if you could indicate we could target for FY26?
I don't want to speculate so much on the EBITDA margin side, but what I can tell you is that, you know, on the sales of previous year, we are fairly confident that we will, you know, we will achieve this year about 20 to 25% growth.
On the top line, sir, you mean?
On the top line, and this is not including the Shotgun product launch. That will be on top. So my revenue guidance for this financial year is about 250 crores.
Okay, great, sir. And my last question is on Shotgun. What type of, you know, if you could tell us a little bit about the size of the industry, market share, what are we, you know, aiming to do there? That will be helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, so I'll take that to the other side. So Shotgun falls in the RTD segment, as I mentioned. The total market size as on today is roughly about $150 million. There are some players in the market who naturally have a large share in the segment already, and they've been existing for a while. With respect to Fratelli launching Shotgun, we already have a very, very robust distribution channel across the country. We are available in 25,000 touch points already. In Alcobev, potentially there are 70,000 plus touch points available across the country. And with the launch of Shotgun, we believe we can foray into a lot of these other touch points which would traditionally not be available for wine sale. So that's really the key objective for Shotgun. And as I said, as the potential is large, and given that we have a pan-India distribution, we are looking for Shotgun to be a sizable part of our contribution in terms of revenue over the next 3 years. I hope that answers
great
the question.
Yeah, very much so. Thank you very much.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Dipesh Sancheti with Mania Finance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. Can you tell me more about your collaboration with Blue Tokai and how it will help the growth strategy of the company?
Hi, Gaurav Sekri here. So with Blue Tokai, you know, we saw very like-minded business and company, homegrown Indian business, aspirational in nature, challenging the multinationals. So, you know, we had a connect with them, and to leverage that, we have come up with, one is of course a barrel aged coffee, which is really a Blue Tokai product, but we have supported them in creating and developing, and we have, you know, some opportunity of brand building on that. Aside from that, in Bangalore, in Koramangala, we saw an opportunity at one of their coffee bars where we thought it's a good idea to roll out
a wine experience, and that way we get a chance to interact with our consumers. And with that premise, we have done our sort of maiden wine and coffee bar with them. A lot of interesting learnings from this experience. Still early days, but what it is doing for sure is providing an opportunity to Fratelli to connect with its consumers and talk about the product. So that is working out quite nicely. And the place is branded as Pour Room.
Place is branded as? Sorry?
Pour Room. P-O-U-R, P for Peter, Pour Room is the name of,
okay.
of the place.
Okay. Now, just wanted to understand the tilt cans which we have. They are all wine or are they cocktails also?
At the moment, the tilt range is purely wine. It's 100% wine, not with any added flavors or anything like that. It is basically just, you know, good quality, easy to consume, easy to like wine, which is fresh and meant to be consumed fresh in a casual setting.
With what percentage of alcohol?
It's around 11%.
Yeah. So, because I just mentioned this because I was in Spain recently and I came across this beautiful cocktail named as Tinto di Verano, which is available in cans and even in 2-liter bottles over there. Can we replicate something like this in India? I mean, which will be around with 4.5, it was with 4.5% alcohol. And I think, can we replicate this? Because that will be a very good way to target early drinkers.
No, I appreciate the suggestion. And I assure you, we are looking at all such opportunities. We do have another product in a can called Noi, which is a spritzer, and it's at 8% alcohol. Generally speaking, in India, the preference of an alcohol beverage, but low on alcohol, you know, people don't tend to appreciate it as much as they do abroad. But we do have a product with in a can with a lower alcohol, which is at 8%. But, you know, some of these ideas of, you know, cocktails in a can, wine-based drinks, you know, in a ready-to-drink format are very much which we are in our consideration. We are aware of them, but I do appreciate you sharing your own learnings from Spain. Thank you.
Great. Okay. And what about the, are there any other recent exciting innovations and how do you address the shifting of consumer preference?
Shifting of consumer preference is a function of, you know, in our industry, at least in the last 10, 12 years, we've learned is you have to make people try your product and then the product has to speak for itself. And that is our focus and attempt always. We are making a product which, you know, we are proud to drink ourselves, proud to serve in our homes, and put our name on it. So, you know, sampling and trials is the best format and we are always very focused on that.
Okay. And is there any major capex which is lined up and how do you finance it? Right? So right now, what is the working capital requirement and term loans and what will be the trend ahead?
We are done with most of our capex that was needed on the wine making side of things. You know, some routine expenditures for efficiency improvement, both at the vineyard level as well as wine making will continue to happen. We expect that number for this financial year to be under 15 odd crores for this financial year. So nothing major. Last year we were approximately 40 odd crores that we spent. This year it should be about 15. And of course, you know, this is not including the hospitality project.
No, but what about the working capital? How much is the working capital and term loan in our debt?
I will pass to my colleague Rajesh. He will answer the question for you. Go ahead, Rajesh.
Sure.
Yeah. So right now we have borrowings of around 100 crore. And out of which two-thirds is the working capital and one-third is the term debt.
And what is the cost of this debt? Average cost of debt?
10%.
10%?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, why such high debt? I mean, are we not in talks with anything? Because, I mean, can't we just lower this interest cost?
we are always attempting to do that. Gaurav Sikri here. We are always attempting to do that. But at this point of time, our best options are to borrow at around 10%. We have had a rating upgrade last year. We are at BBB- rated as a business.
Okay. So are we planning to raise anything from the market? Because, you know, then we can significantly reduce the debt, so it will not put pressure on our profitability also.
We don't rule out any options, but I cannot tell you of any definitive plans today of raising money.
I know, but I mean, if there is anything, then whom do we approach? Go India only?
I mean, we can't speculate what we'll raise, when we'll raise.
As an investor, I'm asking. Just if we want to participate into your in, okay.
You should just be in touch with Go India for sure. There are IR and anything like that. Please do reach out to them. We would welcome your participation at that point of time.
Perfect. So Gaurav, how do you see the growth happening in the coming years? For the next 3 years. I think you mentioned about 20% growth. Where do we see this growth happening and how? Just if you can just put some numbers on it.
I think with what we are trying to do is diversify our revenue streams. If you know, with wines in a can, we were the first ones to move on that category and launch it pan India. And same thing we've done now with Shotgun. We are leaders amongst all the established winemakers to have come up with a product like this. So we are diversifying our revenue base so that we can continue to deliver good growth for our shareholders. In terms of wine on a standalone basis, is a very, India is at a very interesting stage. Our per capita consumption is so low that the only way for it to go is go up. But a lot depends on, people understanding it, accepting it, and then kind of adopting it as a lifestyle. We've seen that happen in the last few years. You see the odd state, which suddenly growth could be north of 30%, even 40%, because the base is so slow. So one will always have those aberrated numbers. And those opportunities, you can only exploit if you are in the business with some sort of relevance. And now that Fratelli has north of 30% market share and 25,000 touch points, we are very well poised for those triggers. As and when they come, we are there to exploit them and take benefit from them. But for me to tell you in a definitive manner from a particular segment growth will happen is very, very hard. But as a company with diversified revenue streams is where we believe we want to, we aspire to deliver 20 to 25% year-on-year growth.
Yeah, I just want to rephrase the question. How do you get Indians to actually accept wine? Because, I know you have a lot of touch points, but point is, still today, I don't know whether you'll agree with me or not, but many of the people in India don't even understand what is the difference between the, a sparkling wine or a red wine. How do we educate the masses, and how do we make this as a mass product?
I completely agree with you on the lack of understanding part, but I also, would like to share with you that the adaptability and acceptability comes very, very fast in certain markets, and we saw that in Hyderabad specifically in Telangana last year. So, Kerala is another state where we have seen a trend like that. How to make wine more approachable, acceptable, is the not million but billion dollar question, and if you have any suessions, I will welcome it. But for us, the way is to make more people try it, sample it, make wine more approachable. Wine in a can was an idea to make wine more approachable by reducing the formality around drinking wine. With Shotgun, we made it more approachable by getting the right price point, the right kind of packaging, etc. So these are the tools, and of course sampling and tasting eventually, works really well.
I mean, you can participate in a lot of festivals, there are a lot of events which happen. If we can have a tilt, at least a tilt cans over there, I mean, things can work out really well. I mean, that way. I'm just trying to say that, you know, wine is, as a market, I mean, how do we, you know, make it as a mass product so that the, I mean, and it has to be done by the entire industry itself, not just by you. But since you hold
80%
of this
question, and it's a great question. I want Adi has, I think, some comments he wishes to share on this. So
I already commented in my opening remarks as well that we have participated in a large number of halo or marquee events, in the previous financial year, and those we've been doing consistently for the last couple of years: Zomatoland, Panland, Nykaa Land, Jaipur Literature Fest, the India Art Fair. These have been some of the marquee events which we already have been doing. And we have taken the leadership position in, at least among all the other winemakers to kind of really deliver these elevated consumer experiences by doing these events. And this as an effort is not going to stop from our side, at least, for the next 3 to 4 years at least, where we feel that we really continue to do these things. So this happens. I think Forum is another key initiative which we've been working on. So like this, there are enough opportunities to sample your wines to the larger base.
Right, because, you know, just by going by with one of the remarks, that because of the elections, the sales went down. For most of the IMFL or for the most of the liquor guys, election is one of the biggest events. Whereas for wine, it actually turns out to be a very... as a barrier. So, you're getting my point.
No, but so Gaurav here, I'm jumping in. I think that's a whole different conversation. I mean, why sale of country liquor and those products goes up during election year. So let's not speculate on that. Wine is a completely different segment. What impacts us is dry days. When dry days are declared, restaurants are shut, consumption takes a hit. That's the reality.
Thank you. Mr. Sancheti, please rejoin the queue for more questions. Next question comes from the line of Rohit Ohri with Progressive Shares. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Couple of questions from my side. The first one is, you mentioned that you're working towards Pinot Noir as some offering from your side. So my question is, how do you intend to maintain the quality or maybe the flavor, which is slightly difficult to replicate in terms of the high quality wines which we have, maybe from 1959 or maybe Murphy or maybe Costa or Ocean 8 or all the other brands?
So thank you for your question. I mean, for us, quality stands paramount and number one in everything we do. We only will launch and do products which at that price point deliver the best consumer experience. Pinot Noir is we've launched it now after almost 12, 13 years of being in the business, because now we have, the liquid that supports the quality standards of our brand. We are able to give the highest possible quality at that price point. Again, I would like to reiterate, because of us farming our own vineyards. And that is what enables us to deliver that experience. And if you sampled our product like Janoon, Sette, Master Selection, our Grand Cuvée Brut Sparkling, which is, the only zero dosage sparkling wine. When I say zero dosage, there's no added sugar into that, and it goes through a natural fermentation process exactly like how champagne is made. And we don't need to add anything to it because the wine stands on its own. It doesn't need anything. That is how we are able to meet the highest standards possible and deliver a quality of wine at a price point which imported wines, I can say with confidence, cannot match.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so we have this initiative called Tilt, which is a canned wine initiative. So my question was that you're trying to attract the younger consumers or probably trying to penetrate this market, which is barely 4 or 5% of your total turnover. How do you see this as a risk? Because the traditional wine lovers, they would prefer the same glass bottle with probably a cork on that. So how do you see that as a risk? Or maybe do you think you should be investing more money in this?
So for us, it's about the setting under which you consume a wine. Now, if you're in a fine restaurant, in that kind of setting,
still does not work. It's the bottle business that will work. The idea of Tilt and you know, our validation came from places like Uttarakhand, etc., where the product has done exceedingly well. It is, you know, there is this whole segment of young consumers who do not like the formality around wine. And we want them as younger consumers, maybe when they're 25, you know, early 20s, mid-20s, we want to encourage them to try wine, get familiar with the liquid, and maybe as, you know, 5-10 years later, when they, even their purchase power allows them, then they can go and sample a whole bottle and enjoy the more sort of, you know, longer experience around wine. But how else do we get to try young people, you know, our product, if we don't put it in a format which they can relate to?
Thank you. Mr. Ohri, please rejoin the queue for more questions. A reminder to all the participants, please restrict yourself to 2 questions. Next question comes on the line of Sri Rao R, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. You know, you mentioned that the domestic manufacturers will be protected even after the FDA coming into place. So can you throw some light on the landed cost between an imported wine and your luxury wine? What is the price difference at present, and how this would change post-FDA?
Hi, Gaurav Sekri here. Without elaborating and taking too much time, you know, on this, what I can tell you is the FDA provisions for all wines under $5 FOB price per bottle, the duty remains unchanged at 150%. And any wine, I can kind of tell you, which is, let's say, at around $2, not even closer to $5, but just $2 FOB, which would be, in my view, the starting point of any kind of liquid which is sort of, you know, okay to be on shelves, those wines landed in India, depending on the state, but will be north of 3,000 rupees a bottle. So that will take the price even higher than our Sette, which is one of our top wines, and Sette sells at, you know, around 2,000 rupees retail.
Okay, got it. And so just one more question. Can you mention the states where Tilt and Shotgun are available at the moment?
Tilt is more or less available pan-India. So Tilt is available everywhere. Shotgun is a new launch, hardly 3 or 4 months in the launch. Maybe I'll just have Aditya elaborate and tell you exactly which states we have Shotgun already.
Yeah. So Tilt is available across the country, and this year we will be launching also in defense, which is a key aspect for us. With respect to Shotgun, we are already available in the states of Maharashtra, Kerala, West Bengal, and Uttar Pradesh. And we will be looking to be available in 10 plus states by end of this effort.
Thank you. Mr. Sriram, please rejoin the queue for more questions. Next question comes on the line of Janvi Shah with Marble Art Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Jamini. Please go ahead.
Yeah, actually, I was just waiting for the answer for Q4 FY25 that you've been. And I'll get back about it.
Yeah, so I can give the number. Hi, it's here. It is about 10% for Q4.
10% for Q4.
Yes.
And FY25. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Madhur Rati with Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the question. Sir, I wanted to understand our channel mix. Sir, how much would be coming from Horeca? How much would be coming from B2B and distribution? So if you could help me with that.
Yeah, so our retail contribution is about 65%, and our on-premise contribution is about
25%. Sir, I couldn't hear you, sir. Can you repeat again?
It's 65% in retail, and the balance 35% comes from on-premise.
Got it. So do we have, how much would be coming from the Horeca segment?
35%.
Okay, got it. Sir, I wanted to understand, sir, regarding a margin improvement that you are planning from 10% to 20%, what will drive this? And will there be an element of the resort and the resort and hospitality that will contribute to these margins? And sir, what are the cost savings that we can expect in FY26? Because sir, our gross margins are very similar to the market leader, but it is not flowing to our EBITDA margins. So sir, if you could explain on the cost saving initiatives that we can expect over FY25, and how do we move from this 10% margin to 20% margin over the next 5 years?
Sure. So as you rightly said, our gross margins remain extremely robust. In fact, there was an improvement in the last year as well. We're operating at about 79%, and we believe that's a good figure which we want to remain consistent with in the years to come as well. With respect to the EBITDA expansion over the next few years, as mentioned in our outlook as well, where we're targeting roughly 20%, a lot of it will come from the operating leverage as well as we scale up. And this year, as we're planning 250 crores in terms of our overall revenue, you will see a major recovery with respect to EBITDA on that basis. And with time to come as well, you know, as I mentioned earlier, our brand investments last year, you know, when as high up as 8%, ultimately as you approach 2030, this will ultimately stabilize around 5-6%. And naturally, you know, there will be certain rationalization further in the trade discounts as well going forward.
Good. Sir, on operating leverage, sir, our Akluj facility has increased from 4 million to 5.4 million liters. So, will our cost of production of wine get reduced going forward as we scale the volumes, or how do you think from this expansion?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, our overall cost of production is already extremely robust. While I can't give you a guidance today, I firmly believe that this current level that we're maintaining or that we're getting is fairly achievable going forward as well.
Got it. So just a final question from my end. Sir, what we've heard is there has been a lot of bulk wine that has been sitting in cellars in European markets. So is there a possibility of us importing those wines and doing something like the whiskey or the IMFL manufacturers do, or this is something that is not very common in the wine market and so on that trend?
Hi, Gaurav Sikri here. Well, we are aware of such situations prevailing in Europe and even in Australia and other wine producing places, but at this point of time, there is no compelling commercial reason to import bulk wines into India. We don't see it.
Got it. So thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. We have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Hi, Gaurav Sikri here. Thank you everyone for joining the Q4 FY25 conference call. We remain focused on delivering operational excellence, advancing our strategic priorities and ensuring enhanced value to our shareholders. I really appreciate everyone's participation today and for the high quality of questions and the interaction. We always learn from such interactions as well. So thank you for that. For further information, you are welcome to contact our IR, Go India Advisors. Thank you and have a lovely day.
Thank you. On behalf of Go India Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.